You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Carlin vs. Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
It's all over Samford. Live. Is that an accurate word as a betting specialist? Is that a live game for you?
Yes. The term live would be when you're referring to an underdog who can win the game outright.
Right.
So, yes, very good. You know where you're at. You pretended like you were asking me. You knew the answer there.
Yeah.
They're live. Samford is live in that game.
I'll tell you what. I'm live. I immediately reloaded the ESPN bet account. Let's go.
You're live for lunch. Like, we know you versus lunch. That lunch is going down.
Well, but I'm not an underdog in that discussion.
No, that's actually a good point. That lunch is not live.
No.
That lunch is very much dead.
That lunch is dead. I am minus 5,000 right there, my friend.
You are Caleb Williams to the Bears. Minus 5,000 on ESPN bet.
We're going to get to it a little bit later. He's got his pro day today. He's out there hugging Keenan Allen, who's hanging out at his pro day at USC.
Not Everybody's bad. Just getting ready.
Yeah, apparently so. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, friends, and want to remind you that you should be following us on all the social media, including on Instagram, at that guy Carlin, at Jay Fortenbaugh. Mike Williams has signed with the Jets, can earn up to $15 million over 1 year. I thought that number was big. Holy cow. Like,
well,
they were.
The operative words are up to.
Yeah.
That's normally when the agent leaks it. It's like, yeah, it's up to 15. And then it turns out it's like, yeah, it's 7. And then there's 8 million in bonuses he can hit if he breaks all of Jerry Rice's records.
Or, you know, if he plays. How about that?
Right. Like, because we want to see him play. Like, if he plays and he's healthy, woo.
Well, he played 3 games last season. Here is Williams on why he made the decision to join the Jets.
Well, for me personally, I just felt like it was a great fit for me, Aaron. I want to be able to, you know, play with him, pick his brain, learn from him, playing alongside Garrett. Kind of remind me of Keenan a little bit, similar style play, great route runners. And I feel like we can complement each other in that area. The running game is pretty good. Defense is elite. So I just feel like we got a pretty good opportunity ahead of us. Just looking forward to it.
Well, Joe, sounds like Mike Evans is buying in.
Williams.
He's on board. Or Mike Williams, excuse me. Sounds like Mike Williams is buying it.
He is. I mean, let's go. Like, if you're Williams, you're leaving the Chargers. It was a great run when you were healthy. You had some solid quarterback play there. Health has always been a concern, but the guy's got big-time potential. Big physical receiver who can contribute. And now he lands with the Jets. He's got an opportunity here in a prove-it year. You know, one-year deal, make a little money. But if you're going to try to make a little money and bolster your resume so you can go out there and get the big fat payday, you're going to want a guy like Aaron Rodgers throwing you the football. So right now, you got to start to look at the Jets and say, okay, one free agency move here, one little trade there. Now you start zooming out and you look at the totality of this, Carlin. This Jets team, they've addressed several key issues. Dare we get back on the pirate ship with them?
I can't do this.
You got to do it. This is not the last time we'll be talking about the Jets before the season starts. It's going to be important you embrace this.
It doesn't mean I have to embrace what's happening.
Oh, yes, you do.
I'll talk about it. That's not what I'm saying I can't do. I can't get sucked in again.
You're not getting sucked in. You are not. We're not going to go with the banana in the tailpipe this year.
Well, Joe, here's the thing. We all have that friend in our lives, right? That friend who is great on paper, and we know them about as well as we can know them. So we know what the good is in them. And sometimes we find ourselves vouching for them when maybe we probably shouldn't, because while you know at the core, they're a good guy, they're a good person, they just need to catch a break. You know what? Something always seems to happen.
Right?
Something always seems to happen to them. Like, they find themselves in a position that they shouldn't be in, and all hell breaks loose. That's the New York Jets.
That's the New York Jets, huh?
Well, look, I know you don't want me to look at the past, but you can't do that.
No, you can. You want to wait the past. That's how we learn. You've got to use history as a guide. What we don't want to do is overvalue history. We don't want to say, look, Purdue lost last year in the opening round. It's going to happen again. Mm-hmm. Just because it did happen doesn't mean it happens again. The Jets' history is very relevant to the conversation. We just don't want to put a blanket statement out there that because the Jets are always inept, they'll continue to be inept. We have to look for reasons why this year they might not be inept. Are there reasons to believe that this iteration of the Jets could figure it out?
Look, there are reasons to believe that. But
here we
But I think that Dan Orlovsky put it about as well as you could put it this morning when he was on Get Up, and what the Mike Williams signing means for the Jets.
The addition of him paired with Garrett Wilson, it gives the Jets the worst, third best wide receiver duo in the AFC. Behind, obviously, Cincinnati, T. Higgins. Let's see if he signs his tag, and then the Miami Dolphins. But Mike Williams is a walking explosive play. Basically, one out of every four catches gives or is an explosive play downfield. And that's something that this offense has needed for a long time. But it's back to the point of RC, like your fingers crossed, because this is the, well, biggest dice roll in the NFL as well. You know, if he could stay healthy, if Tyron Smith, who's going to be protecting a 40-year-old quarterback coming off of an Achilles tear, if he could stay healthy, then this offense has got a shot.
It is one big fingers crossed organization. That's what it always seems to be.
The old house of cards.
Well, you're just hoping. You're hoping, well, if this goes right and this goes right and this goes right, then we're going to be in really good shape. And it's a lot of ifs.
Well, I'm going to tell you, last year there was a ton of excitement from odds makers in terms of how the Jets were priced in that division. They were second behind the Bills. It was very close after the acquisition of Rodgers. Right now, Bills, your favorites, plus 130 to win the AFC East. Dolphins, second place, 2-1. Third place Jets plus 275. Do the odds makers have this one off by a little bit here, in your opinion?
I don't know that they have it off. I don't think the Dolphins are very good. Like, if you want to put the Dolphins in front of the Jets, that's not high praise for the Dolphins, so to speak.
Okay.
Like, I feel like there is a definitive favorite in that division. And those other numbers, I think, are there because it would attract some people to them. Oh, it's not. Maybe I need to take a closer look at this. Maybe this, you know what I mean? But
maybe Vegas is a bunch of idiots when it comes to the Jets.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that because Vegas knows. But what are the Jets always selling? They are always selling hope.
The dream.
They are always selling hope. And hope can be a good thing in some places, but I think what the Jets really represent is red from Shawshank. That's what the Jets are.
Hope is a dangerous thing. Hope can drive a man insane.
Exactly. Exactly. And let me tell you something. Red ended up on the beach. The Jets ain't even on the bus to Mexico right now. Okay? I am not convinced remotely that they are worthy of being in that kind of discussion, considering all of those. They are just, they're not wild cards per se, but they are just little things that you are counting on definitively going right when there is evidence to the contrary in the history, not just of the Jets. I'm talking about of the individual players, of Tyron Smith staying healthy. You know, the same thing here, especially with Mike Williams staying healthy.
Do you remember the name of the beach in Shawshank?
Oh, I don't.
See, you wouldn't have made it to the beach then.
Yeah.
Probably not.
That was the whole thing, is Red had to remember the name.
Listen, I wouldn't have remembered where he buried the damn rock and all that other stuff.
How about how they used to operate? How about how they operated back then? None of us are equipped to figure any of that out now. Like, if my phone isn't within 6 feet of me, whatever's happening is a lost cause.
Yeah.
I have become completely attached to that for everything. Like, the idea of directions. Do you remember when the big technological breakthrough was printing out directions on MapQuest?
Yeah.
And it was like, this is awesome. This is so awesome. Like, you didn't have to talk to someone where it was like, all right, you're going to go down Cedar Crest. You're going to make a right. You're going to take that all the way until you get to Highland. Yep. Then you're going to make a left.
If you hit the train tracks, you went too far.
Like, I don't even know what a block is anymore. I couldn't do any of that stuff.
Ah, don't worry about it. I MapQuested it.
Right. And then we had the Garmins, and we thought we were funny when we put in, like, the Australian accent. Like, right. That was really cool.
Oh, look, Gilbert Gottfried is telling me how to get to your house.
Right. Exactly.
You wouldn't have been able to find the volcanic rock under the big tree in Buxton?
No.
That had no earthly business being there?
No. You have to remember stuff. Like, those guys have to remember stuff. And if you forget, you can't just immediately access the information from someone. It's over. Like, it is over. I routinely forget that. I have to go right to the phone, send a text to the wife. Like, just routinely forgetting these things.
Like, legitimately, how old were you when the internet actually started?
I was in high school. Like, everything started popping when we had those CDs. Like, hey, free 100 hours from America Online.
Right.
So I was in, early high school, late junior high, and instant messenger became a huge thing because that's how you talked to girls. When you were home from, like, high school, like, at night, you get home from practice or whatever, mm-hmm. like, you would log on to AOL and see which girls from high school were on, and that's how you started, like, flirting, trying interactions, things like that. You come home on Saturday night, you try to get people to sneak out.
Yeah, that didn't work for me. But, yes.
Well, you're older. That didn't exist when you...
I was in college. I mean, I wasn't that much older. You know,
old enough where you don't have to sneak out in college. Like, I had to put
the
car...
Well, the sneak out part wasn't it. I'm talking about just talking to women, period.
I had to put the car in neutral. I drove a... I don't even know what it's called now. There's a manual and an automatic. I drove a manual. I would sneak out the side door. I would have to put the car into neutral and let it roll down the driveway. We lived on a slight hill, and then let it roll down the hill and then hit the brakes, hope no one's driving naturally, then turn the car on, then drive away.
All that to get stood up by a girl.
All that to, oftentimes things just, far more often than not, things did not actually work out. But so it wasn't just sneaking out to try to meet up with a girl or something. I'd be trying to sneak out for anything, you know?
Yeah.
Keep the party going.
Yeah, bears over in the forest, in the park, or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I remember multiple times the old man waking me up and just looking at me, hey, look what I found in the bushes out back, and it's just a half-consumed case of Natty Light. And it's like, hey, man, you better put those back where you found it. You have no idea what I went through to obtain that.
Where's the car? I think it's over in the park. I wanted to be safe last night, so, you know.
Got to ride home.
I don't know how it got there.
Yeah, got to ride home from someone. Oh, really? Yeah. What could all you've wanted was your license and a car, and now suddenly you don't want to drive it. Well, you know, a little bit of risk involved.
By the way, it was Zula Tanejo.
You're hoping at that point you're not going to get nailed for it. Like the Jets. Not unlike the Jets. Carlin versus Joe. ESPN Radio. Joe, here's the question. Do the Jets genuinely deserve our belief? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Do the Jets deserve to actually have people believe in them right now based on their offseason moves and based on Joe's logic, which, again, logic. They are better right now. Can't look at the past. Just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean it won't. That's all stuff that Joe believes in me, myself, in this instance, I know better. 888-729-3776. Are you believing in the Jets, and do you hate yourself if you are? From superchargers, exhaust kits, and more, eBay Motors has over 122 million parts to keep your ride or die alive. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to come home from that win. Keep your ride or die alive. ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Your calls. Lines are open. 888-SAY-ESPN. Do the Jets deserve us? Do they? And today is Caleb Williams Pro Day. Are the Bears actually the best landing spot for him? We'll explain next on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Do the Jets actually deserve you? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It's Carlin versus Joe presented by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. All right. 888-729-3776. Let's hit a few of them. Get on the open lines now on whether or not you can actually trust the Jets. Cody in Missouri is up first on ESPN Radio. Cody, is there reason to believe in the Jets?
No way, man. No way, Carlin. No way, Joe. Now, here, let me tell you why. People do not get healthier as they get older. Point blank. They got so many injury risks across the board. You can't trust them to win five games. Second thing, the Jets have showed you constantly for the last six decades they are a dumpster fire organization and cannot get out of their own way. They've already pushed all the chips to the middle of the table and been burnt by it last year. Now you want me to believe in them again? The third thing is Aaron Rodgers does not look like he is all bought in on the Jets. He looks like he is trying to find everything in the world to do, to go do some ayahuasca, to be the vice president, to do whatever it takes to be the biggest diva, prima donna, head case quarterback we've ever seen. I don't think he's all bought in on the Jets. I don't think he lives, breathes, and sleeps football anymore. I don't think he ever did, honestly. I don't think that's a recipe for success. I think the Jets are going to be a 4-12, 4-13 team, sorry, this year. And they're going to look back at the Aaron Rodgers experiment just the way they looked at Brett Favre as a horrible waste of time.
Wow. Wow.
Great call.
Really good.
Really good, strong call. I like the Rodgers angle because the thing is, I don't want to say the legacy's on the line. He's won four MVPs in a Super Bowl. The legacy's pretty well set. But you don't want to be the guy who lost the breakup with the Packers. And then when they went on and found their new romance in Jordan Love and started having a ton of success, you went to the Jets and the end of your career was a complete disaster. Like, nobody wants to go out like that. Like, this is a guy at one time we used to compare him to Brady. The rings were never going to be there, but the raw talent and performance, people used to talk about him like that. And the thing is, Brady was able to write the end of his story. One of the few guys. I know it didn't end the way he may have wanted in New England, but he got the last laugh going to Tampa, winning a Super Bowl, making several playoff appearances. Like, Brady did as well as you can in terms of controlling the end of a professional sports career. Because even for the best, it very rarely goes the way you want it to go. For Rodgers, you have the injury, that's one thing. But if this is a complete nightmare this next season, I'll tell you, he can point the finger all he wants. People are going to look at him and they're going to remember him very differently. Time will go past and we'll remember him for his greatness, but there's some legacy stuff on the line this year with the Jets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And the Jets have always been comfortable with noise. You know, you want to bring in the drama? That's awesome. No problem. We're good. We'll do it. They have always been more interested. Well, I shouldn't say they. I think a few instances, particularly in ownership, and Woody Johnson has always been interested in winning the media wars in New York City as opposed to the actual football wars. Like, he wants to go win the war, but then, you know, they're on Hard Knocks, and while they didn't want to be, he certainly made sure to go out of his way to go out there and get a Woody Diamond necklace. How about Alex up in Florida, down in Florida, up next on ESPN Radio? Alex, what's going on? What do you think?
I believe that the Jets have no chance. I don't think there is any hope anymore. You know, with Aaron Rodgers, like Cody was saying, with all the injuries that they're having, Aaron Rodgers going out that first game and being under 500. I don't know if this Mike Williams, signing him would make him any better, or, you know, we would just have to see how the season would play, because with, you know, all the trades going on right now in the league, we would have to see.
Listen, you're operating off of all of that history stuff. When I'm making these statements about not trusting the Jets, yo, it has a lot to do with the guys they brought in from a health standpoint. That's very much part of it. In addition to the drama that's happened with the quarterback, it has a lot to do with that.
I got to tell you, last year, everybody seemed to love the Jets. I did not, mostly because of all that love. I thought, there's no way they fix this. There's no way. There's too many people that love them. It's going to go south. It's not like I was predicting injuries. I want to make that clear. But now that everyone hates them, kind of starting to like them.
Yep.
I'm kind of starting to like them. Vegas is pricing them as the third best team in the division. Everyone's calling up. It's like it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to stink this year. I'm looking at it. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, there's a lot of Band-Aids here. You and Orlovsky make a great point. A lot of Band-Aids. A lot could go wrong. But at the same time, there's enough there to make you think, can we buy low on this sort of situation? If Rodgers is healthy and plays the whole season, what ends up happening? Like, what does that look like? If Rodgers is healthy for the full 17 games, what are we looking at here?
I don't know, to tell you the truth. The fact that he hasn't played in a year.
You think there's a wide variance, huh?
I think there is, and the fact that he's, what, 41 years old now?
He'll be 41 in December.
Yeah, all right, so he's 40 years old, and he hasn't played in a year, or really 2 years. I mean, if we're being truthful, what am I supposed to expect? What am I supposed to expect? I can't really know until I see it in the first couple of games. I can understand getting excited then if you feel like you see it in the first few games and he's going to be great. I have made a personal decision that I have to share with you.
Okay, I'm ready.
I'm just kind of done going off on Rodgers.
Okay.
I'm kind of done.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, everyone's shaking their head. Just
really
that
skeptical?
Is such a waste of our time, that comment, the fact that we have to actually listen to that.
No,
something's going to happen in the near future, and you're going to come in hot, and you're going to want to get into it, and we're going to want to hear it.
And Conor McGregor's fighting Michael Chandler this summer.
Hey, I told you I was going to sneak that in later. What's wrong with you? We're going to get that in. You're trying to get that in at the buzzer. Give it some time. Let it marinate, Handman.
There
by the
is.
Way. You excited about that? Connor says he's coming back?
Why not?
Does that perk the interest?
A little bit. But it's just more of the shoehorn of Handman. That's something we could have done a little bit more with. And here, let me jam this down your throat.
It's almost like we discussed it before the show and you blew that conversation off completely. I do like him getting it in, though. 888-957-957. No, I'm giving up the number from my own. I'm giving out the old radio number from...
You blew it!
How many years ago? Good God, call them up.
That wasn't even close.
As I started saying it, I'm like, I still haven't memorized it. I still haven't memorized it. I've only been at the company 5 years.
Carlin versus
it's in front of me on the screen.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Where will the Vikings end up picking in the first round? We'll discuss next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
I mean, there's got to be no question, as Pat Costello just pointed out in my ear, there's got to be no question that Dan Graziano was snuck out of his house as a kid, right? I mean, I got.
Are you talking to me or are you talking to Graz?
I'm asking you first before we ask Graz.
I don't know. I don't know Graz well enough. I've had the pleasure of meeting him a couple times, talked to him several times, very much enjoy him. But to get a read on whether or not someone used to sneak out of their house as a kid to extend the party, you need to know the person a little bit more intimately. I don't know him like that.
All right, let's get to know him a little more intimately right now. Might be uncomfortable with that, but here we go. Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider. Did you as a kid sneak out of the house? Sub question, have you ever caught any of your children sneaking out of the house?
So to the first one, no. I don't believe I ever snuck out of the house. What I would do is, I would wait till there were times where, like, I was at a different school than my brothers. And so, like, my parents and brothers would take a vacation without me.
What?
And I'd be home alone. And then we would just have parties. So that was me.
Well, hang on a second. They went on vacation without you?
Yeah, we're going to need to drill down
because,
on this.
Like, I was still in school. Like, it was I was going to a different high school. And so the vacations didn't line up. I had to go to school. So I couldn't go, and so they went and saw, you know, the grandparents, and then I would go by myself.
And they just left you alone in high school?
Yeah. So it was like,
how did I not grow up in your
house? Draw a diagram of, like, all the booze in the liquor cabinet so, like, we could put it back.
Yeah.
Exactly where it was.
Fill it up with water.
Yeah, so,
yep.
Yeah. Well, or you know, have somebody, you know, replace it for us. Yeah. So that was it. And then, yes. One morning, one middle of the night, our younger son, my wife did find, I think I was on the road at a game or something. She did wake up in the middle of the night and check his, you know, find my phone and find that he was not in the house. And went downstairs. So I snuck out. We got in the basement. We got one of those, like, sort of metal doors that opens into the backyard.
Storm door, yeah.
On the ground. So he went out that way so as not to trigger the alarm. And she caught him. So, yeah, that
wow.
has happened.
Oh,
now
that's
we got
incredible.
A motion detector down there near that thing, so he can't get out of the house anymore.
Oh,
wow. Jump out one day.
Motion detectors, you know, you got the Find My iPhone, detector which is basically
windows.
A low jack for your kids now. I mean, they can't get a break.
We think of it like this.
No, it's true.
We just bought a house here in Connecticut, and as we were going uh-huh. through the house and looking at the rooms upstairs that my kids are going to eventually get, one's a 7-year-old, one's a 5. I looked at the one. I go, this is no good for the 5. She goes, why? I go, look at the roof directly outside the window. You can climb onto it, and then you can jump down into the shrubbery below.
Yep.
I go, it's too low. She goes, are you
there
nuts?
You
you're actually considering
nope.
that for the house? I'm like, you got to consider everything. All right? That second one's
going to
be
correct.
A terror.
They will try and outsmart it, whatever it is. But,
it's
no
called
doubt about
seeing
that.
The big picture. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Dan, with the Minnesota Vikings, you've kind
of
hinted at this. Other people have hinted at this, that maybe the Vikings in their move to get an extra first-round pick are actually looking higher than getting to 4. Here's my question. If you're any one of those top 3 teams, why would you consider trading away that pick outside of maybe not believing in one of these quarterbacks because they're all desperate for a quarterback?
No, that is a big part of it. Like, if you're not sold, if you're the Patriots at 3 and you like 2 of those guys but you don't like the other one, right, and the 2 you like are gone, then you trade back. I mean, the Patriots roster is in sad shape. Like, they could use the extra picks. So you trade back, and maybe you look at quarterback later in the round, or maybe you look at it next year, and you rebuild the roster with those extra picks to the point where when you finally do find a quarterback you like, your roster is a little bit better set up for him to succeed. So that's the theory, and I don't know. Like, one week it sounds like the Patriots are going to sit tight and take a quarterback. One week it sounds like they're open to trading out. So I don't know. What is it, 5 weeks till the draft? Like, that's a long time. So, I don't think everyone's plan is set in stone just yet, other than possibly the Bears.
Gross, so much of the conversation centers around the Patriots and whether or not they'll trade, J.J. McCarthy, teams that want to move up. We're not talking at all about 2 and the Commanders. Do you see them zeroing in on Jaden Daniels? Where are we at with that 2 selection?
Yeah, they've been quiet, and I think, you know, I do anticipate that they'll take a quarterback. I don't know whether they like Daniels or Drake May better. I do know that they're interested in, if they can, they would love to get their hands on Caleb Williams, who's a local kid, but that's up to the Bears. Like if the Bears find something in this draft process that turns them off of Caleb Williams, then I think it's open season. But as of now, I mean,
geez, if Poles and Eberflus got there yesterday and went to spring practice at USC, like, I mean, guys, they're looking a little thirsty, right? I mean, it's I think the Bears would have to come off of Caleb Williams somehow in order for that to happen. But in terms of May or Daniels to Washington, I don't have a read on it. I don't know too many people who do. And, I think they're a pretty safe bet to take one of those guys.
Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider, who just told us a few moments ago his parents left him at home and went on vacation with the rest of their brothers so he could throw parties. Dan, with
you're
that
missing the context. Anyway,
that's
go on.
Really phrased the right way.
Well, I mean, Dan, context
really yeah, exactly.
Just, you know, doesn't matter, Dan. Headlines, there. Clickbait. That's what matters, Dan. Right. You know this. Dan, are the Jets looking to add anything else before the draft? And have they actually earned our belief in them for this season?
I like them. If there's no such thing as injuries, then they look fantastic, right? Like Tyron Smith, when he plays, is a monster, right? But he the last time he played a full season without missing any games due to injury was 2015. Like, you know, my kids weren't old enough to sneak out of the house yet at that point. So, so the question is, like, sometimes he plays, sometimes he misses, like, three games, and sometimes he misses, you know, 14 games. So if it's the former, then good. They can patch it together for three, four games if he's not there. But if it's the latter, then they have some issues. And then Mike Williams, obviously, is a guy that's had trouble staying on the field with the Chargers. Look, the Jets are – this is all or nothing. So, like, why not build an all-or-nothing roster, right? Like, if these guys stay healthy, we can win with Aaron Rodgers. If they don't, if we had signed the next best guy, he might not have been good enough. So I kind of like what they're doing. We'll see. I mean, he's a 40-year-old quarterback coming off a major injury and a bunch of guys around him that have that come with health questions. But the upside of the group looks very good, and I think they've positioned themselves to sort of do whatever they want in the draft. Like, they could still take a tackle at 10. They could take Brock Bowers or a wide receiver. You know, like, because they signed or acquired the two tackles, they don't feel like they're compelled to take a tackle at number 10. And I think that's a good way for them to go into the draft. Who knows? I mean, maybe that's a player they really love and they feel like he's the missing piece. Maybe they're a team that tries to move up a spot or two for a receiver or somebody.
We were kicking around some hypothetical trade scenarios earlier today, as sports talk radio hosts are wont to do. And
sure,
the focus was on
the backbone of this whole thing. Right?
Exactly. I mean, without that, sure. we're very clearly on the streets. So this one centered around Brandon Ayuk, the wide receiver in San Francisco. He's entering year five of his 5-year rookie deal. Debo's been paid, Bosa's been paid, Fred Warner's been paid, Kittle's been paid. A lot of money's been spent out there. McCaffrey, Trent Williams at left tackle. They got some deals coming up in the next 2 years. How do you think the Niners go about handling the Brandon Ayuk situation?
I think you can't rule out the possibility that it ends up in a trade because, you just listed it, right? Why would he not want to be paid? Why doesn't he deserve it? He's coming off his best year. He was a critical aspect of their Super Bowl run and feels like he deserves to be paid as such. And who can argue with him? So if he insists on something they're not willing to give, then I do think it ends up in a trade. The 49ers still have, even in spite of all those guys they're paying at the very top of their position markets, they still have a $900,000 quarterback next year that they like. And so they have room. They can play around. You can restructure Trent Williams' deal or Fred Warner's deal and get money out of it. So if they really want to keep it together and they really want to sign Ayuk, they can do it. It's just a question of the big picture on these receivers is Justin Jefferson still doesn't have a contract. CeeDee Lamb still doesn't have a contract. Like no one since 2022 has gotten paid at the wide receiver position. We're at the combine. I thought the Amon-Ra St. Brown extension with the Lions was a day away from being done. Still not done. So no one can figure out how to pay these guys. And I think Ayuk is a part of that right now. And until some of these dominoes start falling, then I'm not sure one side has the ability to say to the other, hey, see, this is what guys are getting. Like, this is what Justin Jefferson got. So let's work off of that. And I think there's a lot of chicken being played with the wide receivers right now. So it's hard to forecast it.
Danny, great stuff as usual. I'm incredibly jealous of your ability to stay home and have parties. Did you ever get caught?
Well, I think years later I found out that they kind of knew. we used to get really lucky. Like, it was like recycling day was the day before they came home, right? So I like, just put everything out.
Oh my Lord.
But yeah,
everything was coming up cross,
breaking or anything like that. So yeah, I mean, it wasn't like crazy. I just had a bunch of friends over. Like, that was it. And we drank when we were underage. So yeah, that was,
Roz that was is like it. Danny Ocean.
I collected keys. I mean, like, it wasn't, you know, we were responsible.
Now you do it the right way. We appreciate that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it,
brother. Thanks, guys.
Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL Insider. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. Can the Vikings actually make it into the top three? We will answer that question in moments on ESPN Radio and on TuneIn.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Chalmers, 4-3, and the tie. He got it! He got it! 2.1 to play.
Mario Chalmers back in the Kansas days. Ties Memphis at the buzzer. It was the 2008 National Championship game. Forced Memphis. That was on Westwood 1. The tournament, the 64, begins tomorrow. It is Carlin versus Joe. New on ESPN Radio. It all begins shortly after we begin tomorrow. So you know what that means.
Yeah.
That is very exciting.
Day betting alert.
That's right, baby.
We're betting everything. Right. Just everything that's going to happen during, everything in general, but that 3-hour stretch is going to be wild.
What do I have to look forward to tonight to prepare myself for that on ESPN Bet Live at 6 p.m. Eastern?
6 p.m. Eastern, great plug. Thank you very much. Half-hour show tonight. So we're going to get you set for tonight's games. We've got some action on that whenever we want to sprinkle in the pizza money. We got one of the two games for you covered tonight. We'll probably slide a little bit of NBA in there because we don't want to just set you up for tomorrow. But tomorrow we're going to look at some futures plays we like. We've been kind of working through the brackets. It's a combination of bracket strategy as well as plays to make, both futures and individual. Tomorrow we're on in the morning, though. Your boy's making a quick turnaround. We are on 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern tomorrow, ESPN2. So I'm going to come sprinting over here at the end of that show to jump on radio with you. But that's the show that's really going to set the stage for all the first day action in terms of point spreads.
Ooh, special 11 a.m. Eastern, yeah. Leading right into it. Love
yeah.
It.
10 a.m. Eastern on Friday, so a little bit of a buffer there for me. Wow. But I'm excited. I'll be sprinting all over the place.
I like this. I like it. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. Joseph, we spent some time there talking with Dan Graziano about the Vikings, that so many have suggested that maybe they will be able to get into the top three. They made the trade last week to get the extra first-round pick. Adam Schefter on Sportsmanlike this week believes they're in prime position.
The Vikings are now in prime position to move up if that's what they decide that they want to do. It just depends, I think, on how they read other teams' interests and how the quarterbacks start falling off the board. There's a lot of variables that play into it that I think are a little bit difficult to spell out on March 19th, other than to say the Vikings are in prime position to do what they want to do.
See, I think this is a very tricky spot, though, because if you are one of the teams in the top three And as Graz was talking about, you only believe in two of the guys. You are then telling yourself either you want to take a flyer on somebody. And when I say flyer, second, third round pick is somewhat of a flyer to me when we're talking about quarterbacks. Because they're obviously guys that have flaws, and we don't necessarily believe them to be the top of the top. So if you don't believe in that, and you're going to do that, you're going to take one later, or you're going to go beyond that into next year when it's not supposed to be a terribly deep draft, you are really rolling the dice. And Joe, we've already had the Commanders, the Bears, and the Patriots all make the moves that would suggest they're taking quarterbacks, trading away Sam Howell, signing Marcus Mariota, signing Jacoby Brissett, trading away Mac Jones, and obviously with Justin Fields. Those are telegraphed moves. We're drafting a quarterback. So I'm having a lot of trouble seeing how the Vikings are going to get into the top three, if that's what it's about.
I think the thought process is that they wouldn't be making these moves if they didn't already get an inclination from somebody in the top three that they'd be willing to deal. If you work your way through it, say you talk to the Bears, and they're like, no, we're set, but thank you so much, division rival trying to get Caleb Williams, we're set. So, all right, you realize that one's off the limits. And then right. You talk to the Commanders, and then you talk to the Patriots. And if all three are not open to dealing because they're looking for their quarterbacks of the future, then we're talking about picking up all these assets to go up to four with Arizona so you can get J.J. McCarthy, which if you love the guy, great. But I can't imagine you've done enough work on him to this point where you're already stockpiling first-round picks to go get him. His pro day hasn't even happened yet. So I think there's still more work that needs to be done. So my guess, just a guess, is that they've talked to somebody in the top three and maybe a situation like this played out. Maybe New England let them know, look, if it turns out it's May at number three, meaning Daniels has gone two, we'd be open to trading. Hint, hint, we like Jaden Daniels, so if he falls to us at three, we're taking him. But if it turns out that he's gone at two and Drake May's at three, we're happy to make the trade. Maybe that's the type of scenario that's taking place here. That's just how I workshop it, because I do find it a little hard to believe that Minnesota's going to get ultra aggressive to get the four for J.J. McCarthy when it turns out you might not have to be that aggressive to get him.
Well, take a look at what they have to try to get up there, right? They've got the two first-round picks this year.
Which are what, 11 and 24?
23.
11 and 23.
Right. They have no second-round pick this year. No third-round pick this year.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Two. What fours. Is this a Ditka, Ricky Williams situation? You just give them all up, make your pick, and move on, go play some golf?
Well, when you don't have those things to give away, it makes it a little bit harder, right? I mean, then we look at next year. Vikings don't have their second-round pick next year. So they're going to have to give up a lot to move from 11 into the top three, because none of those teams are going to tip their hands to the Vikings about who they like and who they don't. But if they're willing to deal, to me, like, you've got to empty out whatever you've got, and what the Vikings got is not a lot if we're not talking about Justin Jefferson. And I don't think the Vikings are talking about trading Jefferson.
No. What's the point of trading up for a quarterback if you're going to get rid of the best weapon for the quarterback? Josh Allen got better when they gave him Steph Diggs. Jalen Hurts got better when they gave him A.J. Brown. Tua Tagovailoa got better when they gave him Tyreek Hill. There's no point in trading up to draft a quarterback if you don't have anything in place that can help the quarterback. Justin Fields got better when they gave him D.J. Moore. That's what you got to factor. What's interesting with Minnesota is we're trying to figure out what they're doing, and it's tricky because are they using logic or are they using emotion? Mm. Outside of when you decide to get married, emotion has no place in the decision-making process. And even then, sometimes when you're getting married, you probably got to get the emotion out of there and you got to think about it logically. But that's a conversation for another day. The idea that emotion creeping into the decision-making process, it clouds judgment. And I think the Vikings are an emotional team right now. They wanted to keep Kirk Cousins, or at least some people in the building did. He signed elsewhere. So now you got half the building upset because they wanted to keep him. The other half of the organization, apparently, according to reports in there, was fine with him leaving. So they're already a little bit fractured. So now because of that emotion, O'Connell's going to be entering year three. The front office, I believe, will be entering year three. They know their jobs are going to be at stake here. They got the Jefferson situation. Emotion is creeping into the decision-making process. Maybe they're getting a little antsy. Maybe they're feeling a little heat, a little desperation, and that's why they want to trade up. And that's what would worry me if I'm a Viking fan. I would not want my decision-makers being pushed around by emotion when it comes to making this decision.
Yeah. So with that in mind, if I'm one of those, if I'm the Commanders or the Patriots, if I'm going to trade away that pick, whether or not I like somebody, I got to fleece them. If I'm moving down that far, I have to absolutely fleece the Vikings in this deal.
What's that look like?
It looks like more, like if you look at the Jimmy Johnson chart that it's somewhat outdated, but some still use it, like 11 and 23 in theory, and maybe a fourth round pick should get them there. It's going to take more than that.
Okay.
It's going to take more than that.
It took three ones for the Niners to move up.
That's what we're talking about.
Thanks for listening to the Carlin vs. Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Carlin vs. Joe weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Carlin vs. Joe podcast.